I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam. Which is the postgraduate study of the Bhagavad Gita, but we're reading from the second canto, which is towards the beginning. So, but the verse I'm going to read is about the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is a constant theme throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is at the very beginning of Shukadeva's instructions, and in the very last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nama Sankirtana Yasya is a glorification of Krishna, but Nama Sankirtana Yasya, the chanting of whose holy name in Sankirtan destroys all miseries. So, we'll ask you to follow a certain procedure that we do when we read Srimad Bhagavatam in our classes. So please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1. The first step in God realization. I'll just read the Sanskrit twice on my own. Etanna vidyamananam ichatam aputo bhayam yoginam ripanirnitam arinamanukirtanam. Etanna vidyamananam ichatam akuto bhayam yoginam nripanirnitam harinamanukirtanam. Please repeat.
Etat.
It is.
It is.
Nirvidyamananam.
Nirvidyamananam.
Of those who are completely free from all material desires.
Of those who are completely free from all material desires.
Ichatam.
Ichatam.
Of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment.
Of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment.
Akutabhayam.
Akutabhayam.
Free from all doubts and fear.
Free from all doubts and fear.
Yoginam.
Yoginam.
Of all who are self-satisfied.
Of all who are self-satisfied.
Nripa.
Nripa.
O King.
O King.
Nirnitam.
Nirnitam.
Decided truth.
Decided truth.
Hare.
Hare.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Sri Krishna.
Sri Krishna.
Nama.
Nama.
Holy name.
Holy name.
Anu.
Anu.
After someone.
After someone.
Always.
Always.
Kirtanam.
Kirtanam.
Chanting.
Chanting.
Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord, after the ways of the great authorities, is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. Mukunda is a name for Krishna. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists, who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment, and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Sri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotee can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. So this important verse tells us who should chant, how they should chant, and when they should chant. Who should chant? Those who are free from all material desires, they should chant. If you're in that category, raise your hand. Those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, I won't embarrass you by asking you to raise your hand, you should also chant. And those who want to please the Lord should also chant. So that covers, I believe, everyone in the room. And we may be some combination, you know, there may be a part of us that wants to enjoy the material world, and there may be a part of us that wants to get release from material existence, and then there may be a part of us that wants to please Krishna. But we are all covered in this verse. And when to chant and how to chant is described in a very small, it's not even it's a prefix actually, anu. The prefix anu has two meanings. One is always or continuously. So anukirtanam means always chanting or continuously chanting. And that chanting, if it is possible, we can always be chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or some name of God. But it also includes discussing the Lord's forms, qualities, pastimes, entourage, service. And it also includes engaging in service in support of those activities. So it's quite, it can be accepted in a broad way, but the conclusion is somehow or other we should always be engaged in some service related to the Supreme Personality of God. That's one meaning of anu, always or continuously. The other meaning of anu is to follow. At the beginning of my talk, I mentioned Rupa Goswami. He's like the chief literary disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. And we, in our line, we are all followers of Rupa Goswami. And therefore we are called Rupanugas. So that anu, follower, comes there. Rupanuga, followers of Rupa Goswami. Ramanuja. Ramanuja means one who follows Ram. Anu. Again. So, who should chant? Everyone. And how? Following the ways of the great authorities. And when should one chant?
Always.
Always. Always. Now, what does it mean to follow the ways of the authorities? I will read and it will become very clear. In this verse, Sri Shukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, then with the attributes of the Lord, then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, and so on. They're all included in the name. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, about his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous Acharya. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruited workers or as philosophers or as devotees of the Lord. So here is a further definition of who should chant. And those who are desirous of material success should chant. But within them, there's two categories, those who are trying to be successful and those who are successful. Both categories should change. Similarly, those who desire liberation from the material world come in two stages. Those who are trying to be liberated and those who are successful in being liberated. Both categories should chant, and even devotees, those who are trying to achieve perfection in devotional service and those who are already perfect in devotional service. Both categories should always chant the holy name. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be done loudly, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. So now we come to the offenses. And this is the meaning of anu, following the ways of the great authorities who have instructed us how to chant the holy name properly and avoid the 10 offenses. And I'll speak about them because, well, Srila Prabhupada did, and it's how we chant to get the full benefit. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. So this is very practical. I mean, everyone is suffering, and the suffering is the reaction to our sinful activities. It means activities against the laws of God or the laws of nature. But if we surrender to Krishna, Sarvadharman Parityaja Mame Kam Saranam Vraja Ham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshayisyami Matsucha, we surrender to Krishna, Krishna frees us from all sinful reactions. Matsucha, don't worry, don't fear, just surrender. Krishna will protect you. Now, if one happens to commit an offense against the lotus feet of Krishna, one can take shelter of the holy name. Although the holy name is identical to Krishna, but the nature of the holy name is that the holy name is more merciful than Krishna, even being Krishna. And so the holy name is very willing to accept any sincere chanter and free the chanter from all sinful reactions and the effects of offenses. But if one commits offenses against the holy name, then what? Then where will one go? Of course, even then, one can just keep chanting, but it's better in the beginning to avoid the offenses. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, because it becomes very, very arduous to... But the holy name will accept you if you're offensive, but it's better to avoid the offenses and not, and just keep everything very... I'm not sure where this is coming to mind, but... It's like in a relationship between a husband and wife. So one of the first requirements in any relationship is time. You have to put time into the relationship. And, you know, if you put time into the relationship and sort of deal, and, you know, in a favorable way for the relationship, then the relationship will remain congenial. But it sometimes happens that, and there, you know, could be many variations, but, you know, it sometimes happens that one or the other partner don't pay enough attention to the other. And then things deteriorate. And then, again, depending on how far they've deteriorated and what the mood of each of the individuals is, then there's marriage counseling and consulting lawyers, divorce, it's just like, but it can be saved, you know. But once it reaches that stage, it's a lot harder than, you know, if things were kept congenial from the beginning. But this is, as Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, a crude example. But we do need to spend time chanting. We do need to spend time on our relationship with Krishna. We're saying Harinam Anukirtanam always. I mean, yes, always. But at least sometime, as much as possible. And that will, once my godbrother Bhurijan Prabhu said to me, becoming Krishna conscious takes time. And I thought he meant it's a gradual process, it takes time to become fully Krishna conscious. But he said, and he's a very good teacher, he also said it takes time also in the sense that you have to put time into it. If you don't put time into it, you can't become Krishna conscious. I mean, you can't be successful in anything, pretty much, if you don't put time and energy into it. So, Bhurijan Prabhu wrote a book called Japa, and in that book, he lists different keys, you know, to success in chanting. And you know what the first key is? To chant. That's the first key. You have to chant. And then when you chant, you can invoke the other keys, you know, employ the other keys to help you chant better and achieve success in chanting. Right, so, such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. And in the temples, in the morning program in the temples, Srila Prabhupada established that the devotees recite the 10 offenses. And that just the recitation of it somehow helps us to avoid them. I mean, of course it makes us mindful of them and we make a conscious effort. But even that, just the act of reciting them somehow helps us to avoid them. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. So this is, if we understand that the holy name is Krishna, a person, then it is, and so Krishna's servant is going out and telling people about the holy name, chanting the holy name, engaging others in chanting. And then if you start, you know, vilifying that person, how's Krishna going to feel? How's the holy name going to feel? He'll take it as an offense. It's just like if If an American ambassador is insulted somewhere, it's considered an insult to the nation because he's representing the nation. It's not just he's being insulted, but so if someone insults a devotee, vilifies a devotee, it's an insult to Krishna. And Krishna takes it more seriously than an insult to him personally. I'm not going to comment on all of them for the sake of time, but I'll read what Srila Prabhupada has written. The second offense is to see the holy name of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names. But that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. Srila Prabhupada had a very intelligent disciple from Iran. And he met Srila Prabhupada in America. I think he got a degree in economics from Harvard University, and he was a partner in a very big international accountancy firm. And then he went back to Iran to begin Krishna consciousness there. And Srila Prabhupada visited, and in a moment of great emotion and eloquence, this disciple foresaw the time in the future when all the inhabitants of Iran would chant Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Why do you want them to chant only Hare Krishna? We are not sectarian. Let them chant Allah, Allah." So there's a philosophical point there that all the names are as good as any other. There's also a practical point there. They're going around Iran telling the people that not chant Allah and chant Hare Krishna might have repercussions. Srila Prabhupada was also very practical. But that is the point here. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. This is very important. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be none different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name of the Lord. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures, it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of the sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord. But after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. So this is a very important principle. That we commit sins before we come to the association of devotees of God. And by chanting the holy name, we become free from those sinful reactions. By surrendering to Krishna, we become free. And by chanting the holy names, we become free. But if we are very cunning, and we think, oh, this is a good arrangement. Now I can engage in sinful activities, and if I chant the holy name, I can neutralize the effects of the sins. And one deliberately engages in sinful activities with the idea that he can become free from the effects by chanting. That is considered the worst offense against the holy name. And in a way, it's putting the whole, it's sort of like a confession. You know, confession is beneficial. But if one has a devious mentality that I'll go and confess on Sunday, and then I'll go out and do all the same things again, and even more, and even worse. And then I'll come back the next Sunday and get freed. That won't work. You can't cheat the Lord. You know, if you accidentally or unknowingly engage in sin, and you confess, and you repent, and you do everything in your power not to do, to repeat it, you'll be forgiven. And same with chanting, but in a cunning, calculating, devious way, it won't work. You can't cheat. I don't know if it's appropriate, but I will tell, and it's related to the next offense too, but an Indian joke. Now, you know, I guess we have them in other cultures too, but, you know, Indians are traditionally pious people, and so their jokes, or at least this joke, sort of pious in a way. So it could be going on in this temple, I'm sure it is. You know, people come and they pray to the Lord for something material. And sometimes people even make deals. If I get such and such, Lord, then I'll give you such and such. So there was a man who went to the deity, and he prayed to the deity that I'm going to bet on a horse in the races, and if the horse comes in first, and I make 100,000 rupees, I'll give you half. So the man went to the racetrack, he put his money on his horse, and the horse came in second. And he only got 50,000 rupees. So he went back to the deity and said, "Lord, you didn't trust me. You took your half first." So it's bad enough to do business with God, but it's even worse to try to cheat. Anyway, so now the next one. See, this is also related. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. In other words, a material auspicious activity that will bring some auspicious material result. There are various kinds of good works for material benefit. But the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. So this is also a very important point, because superficially chanting can resemble any kind of, you know, auspicious work meant to bring some material good. But it's not. You know, the holy name is Krishna himself. And it's not proper for us to try to engage him in our service. We're meant to engage in his service. In 1973, there was a conference at the Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan in Bombay, and the theme of the conference was how all the problems in the world could be solved through the Bhagavad Gita. And the head of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan was a lady named Leelavati Munshi, her husband, I think, had founded Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. So before the actual opening session, she had a tea in her private quarters, and she invited, you know, different holy men and political leaders who were, you know, interested in the Bhagavad Gita, and she invited Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada was clearly the leader in all respects, you know, clearly the leader in preaching the Bhagavad Gita and applying the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. And so they were all appealing to Srila Prabhupada that he should be the chairman of the conference. And they were saying, only you can be our leader. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Undoubtedly, I can be your leader, but are you prepared to follow?" Because this is also very common in Kali Yuga, the age of hypocrisy, and I think in some cultures, Oriental cultures, it's like part of the culture to say what you think will please the other person. But anyway, so yeah, Prabhupada said, yes, undoubtedly, I can be the leader, but are you prepared to follow? So one of these holy men said to Srila Prabhupada that he was having big gatherings and telling the people to chant. And that if they chanted, they could be freed from their material diseases. Again, it may be in every culture. I know there were, in some Christian meetings, they accept Jesus, and then someone will, you know, cast away his crutches and will be able to walk. And so this Hindu religious person, he had the same idea. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, you are gathering people, and I'm gathering people. And you're getting them to chant the holy name, and I'm getting them to chant the holy name. So we should cooperate. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. What you are proposing is against our principles. And on the same point, that the holy name of Krishna is the Lord himself. And we are meant to serve him, not engage him in our service, like make him our doctor. You know. So, Srila Prabhupada was very clear in the philosophy, and he was very straightforward in presenting his position. Now, it is a little tricky, and I'm raising this only as a question. I'm not at this stage attempting to give an answer, but it's a little tricky because now in yoga circles, kirtan has become very popular. But the way they chant is not the way it's recommended to be chanted. First of all, anukirtanam, they don't chant all the time. It's something they do once in a while, you know. And anukirtanam, they don't do it following the authorities. And they commit many of these offenses. The second offense, and it's very, the second offense, the way it was presented here was that God has different holy names and one is not better than another. You know, we encourage anyone to chant the name of the Supreme God. But there are also demigods, like Brahma, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, and so it is an offense to consider the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So this is very common in yoga circles to chant all these different names. And I know because my chiropractor plays a lot of CDs, and I hear it all, you know, Jai Ma Durga, and it just on and on and on. And so, yeah, it's very tricky because, but at the Sadhu Sangha retreat last year, and which is coming up, I think some of you are planning to attend. The Sadhu Sangha retreat over the Memorial Day weekend in North Carolina. It's a big festival of chanting. And afterwards, I think she had like a video magazine, and it was meant like for yoga circles. And she asked me, you know, about the way people chant in yoga circles and what the effect is and what the benefit is. And, I said, frankly, they are chanting with offenses. There will be some benefit, but it will take a long time. And to get the real benefit, they have to chant without offenses. And I said, what do you think about that? And she said, well, yeah, that's true. And I said, well, are you going to publish this, do you think? She said, yeah, I am going to publish it. And just the other day, I was listening to a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and George Harrison. And George Harrison was making the point to Srila Prabhupada that, he was asking people to chant Hare Krishna. But he wasn't sure what effect it was having. Because some people might like what he says and other people might not like what he says. And maybe the people who don't like what he says are greater in number than the ones who do like what he says. So he's thinking, is it, should he even be doing it? So one of Prabhupada's disciples who was there, named Shyam Sundar, said, and it's probably something like what I would have said, he said, well, the ones who don't like what you say, it doesn't really make any difference anyway, because they are what they are, and they'll remain as they are. But the ones who are open to what you say will get great benefit from your saying it, so you should say. And then George brought up about the regulative principles. No eating meat, fish, or eggs, no gambling, no taking of intoxicants, even coffee, tea, and cigarettes, and no illicit sex, there's no sex outside of marriage. And of course people do respect those principles, but they may not feel they can follow them. But if they chant, that's the thing, if they chant, it'll happen naturally that they will be able to follow them. But anyway, at a certain point, Prabhupada said, the thing is that when we preach, we have to speak the truth. It was like such a very clear statement. He just said, the thing is that when we preach, we have to speak the truth. So Prabhupada did that. And, we can't always... I told the story, I think yesterday, but I'll tell it again, that sort of highlights the importance of book distribution and the utility of book distribution. But I was... It was actually on the way to the Sadhu Sangha retreat 2 years ago. And there's a Indian family disciple. The lady was a disciple. The husband was somewhat supportive. The daughter was nice, pious. She also, chanted and read. And then by chance, the mother's mother, grandmother, was visiting. And she was very pious. Very pious. I think followed all the four rules that we recommend. But at a certain stage, she's just started speaking such nonsense, philosophically. It was like just such nonsense. Sort of impersonalism and in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Namam Duskriti Namudha, You know, anyone who doesn't surrender to Krishna, or anyone who thinks Krishna is an ordinary human being, is a fool or a rascal. So she was going on like this, and I was thinking, I can't let this go on. I just can't sit here. But I was thinking, if I tell the truth in this situation, you know, it's like they've been waiting for years for me to visit them. And the whole mood was like so nice, and everyone like so happy. I thought, if I speak the truth now, it's going to spoil the whole mood. It would be like a disaster. I can't let it go either. So I was like praying to Srila Prabhupada, like, what do I do? And then I got the answer that I have to get her to read Prabhupada's books. That was the solution. I can't say you're a fool and a rascal, but if she reads Prabhupada's books, Krishna and Prabhupada will tell her. So it's very important. You know, distributing Prabhupada's books is very important at all times, but especially in a situation where it might be a little awkward to really say everything, give them the book, and the book will say it. And, there's nothing like Srila Prabhupada's books. Nothing like that. Okay. So we're almost at the end here. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. So sometimes this is summarized, you know, to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. And the reason is that if someone doesn't have faith, and if you preach about the glories of the holy name, they'll think you're in illusion, you know, that you're brainwashed, or they'll commit more offenses. I'll give one example, but these are very practical, actually. One example. So my father and mother and sister came to visit me in India. And we were flying from, I think, Delhi to Kashmir, to Srinagar. And, I thought, somehow I was thinking about the book Easy Journey to Other Planets that Srila Prabhupada wrote, with some like scientific language, you know, to appeal to modern rational scientific people. So in a quite a naive way, I started telling my father about it, how, you know, by yoga you can travel to other planets within the material world. But only by bhakti yoga can you go beyond the material universe and go to the spiritual world. And the expression on his face, you know, I was looking at him, I was like so enthusiastic and in such a naive way. I looked at his face and I could just read what he was thinking, which was, son, I thought you were crazy before, but hearing this, I think you're crazier than I even thought you were. And then I realized this was actually an offense. It's sort of like preaching to the faithless. You can't do that. What if you're with someone who lacks faith, you can engage them in service, or you can speak in such a way to create faith. And that means to, you know, make them humble, that, you know, you have faults and your knowledge is imperfect. And it's a whole gradual systematic process. But to just straight away, you know, go into you know, very confidential aspects of the philosophy is an offense, because it will lead them to commit more offenses. So this requires some tact, some intelligence. But yeah, we can always engage them. That's and gradually help them develop faith. Now the tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. So, like, very important point. Anyway, false egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of one's self only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. So, just to try to summarize in very brief, false egoism means we think we're the center. We think, you know, we're the enjoyers and everything is meant for us to enjoy. And so the real effect of chanting is to free us from that false conception so that we understand that God is the enjoyer and everything in the world is meant for Him to enjoy, including us, our service, our love, our devotion. And so, but if someone maintains that, and again, sometimes this offense is summarized to maintain material attachments even after understanding some instruction, then one will, one won't chant properly, and one may give up chanting. So, anyway, it's quite a lot. Quite a lot, but you know, you can digest gradually and assimilate it, and it will help. So one little note about what Mother Sundamini said about Dana and her trip to India was that she didn't use these words, but what it came to was that Dana went out of her comfort zone. And this is necessary for any and all of us to make progress, to go outside of our comfort zone. Because as long as we stay in our comfort zone, we'll pretty much stay where we are. So we can only really make progress if we leave our comfort zone and take a chance, you know. And so Dana is doing this today in a big way. She's been doing it all along. And anyone who's making progress in devotional service is doing it, because you can't do it staying in your comfort zone. You just can't. So I think we should take a little break, because this has been, you know, a good dose, I don't know what yoga exactly Dana teaches, but maybe someone can lead us in some stretches or some deep breathing or something to refresh us. And or we could do a little jumping and dancing kirtan. Yes?
Then we can give her name and all that.
Okay. All right. Well, then, because we've heard so much about the holy name, I actually thought this would be a good chance. If you have japa beads, that we'll chant one round together. I'll be chanting on her beads that she'll be receiving. And all of your friends and spiritual family and supporters will be chanting along. And we have the words here.
Right behind you.
Yeah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Niradhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.